Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Your chance to win Neil McCoy tickets today for the show Saturday evening, Capitol Theater, a major Drusky Entertainment extravaganza. Neil McCoy, Saturday evening. The chance to win a pair of tickets is minutes away, all in this hour, all right here, Big Willie 105.5. Shut up. Dimitri 105.5. Download the River Network app and then click 105.5 Big Willie. Also, River Talk 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. Every day that we do the show live here, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, after the 8 o'clock news, we get a call from a very, very famous local celebrity. His name is Mr. Big Willie. We don't know if he's named after the station or if the station is named after him, quite frankly. And we're afraid to ask. We're actually afraid to ask. In any event, he is over-the-road OTR truck driver, and he calls us from the luxurious, state-of-the-art cab of his Freightliner Cascadia 125. And he is our very, very special guest. So, Mr. Big Willie, welcome back to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing, sir?
Breaker 1-9, Dimitri, you got a copy?
get a copy or a coffee? I don't
you
even
got
know.
A copy. You got a copy?
I don't have a coffee. I just got some water here. So, where are you and what are you up to and what has lit you up today?
Oh, I'm headed up 280 here outside of Toledo, headed to the Big D of Detroit, not Dallas, but Detroit, and got to drop off some guardrail because they have a lot of accidents up here, and then doing my same old thing back to Ravenswood.
Great. So what have you been thinking about? I'm almost afraid to ask this question. What have you been thinking about these days?
Why are you afraid, Dimitri?
Because I know you. I know you.
Don't be afraid of the Big Willie.
I've got my finger on the dump button. I know you, my friend. I know you.
Oh, I know. I made a boo-boo the other day, but oh well. Some of the biggest podcasts and radio shows out there, they don't have a dump button. So anyhow, we're all grown ups here. Just another way to make money from our government, I guess. Anyhow, no, I was thinking about the CDL thing again in some of these states like Colorado and Pennsylvania and California and New York are under the gun, and they had that big operation out in Oklahoma where they caught 25% of the drivers pulled into the weigh station didn't have a valid CDL, no CDL, or couldn't speak English, or all three. And there's pictures of the driver's license online where it says no name given because they were just, they didn't have a Social Security card. They just gave him a CDL and said, here, you got a job, and put him behind the wheel of a truck. And it just irritates me still how dangerous it already is that they're still doing this. And in California, who has probably some of the best, some of the biggest trucking companies, or the busiest trucking companies with the most drivers, is the place where they're having the biggest problem. So Sean Duffy, the head of the transportation, is cutting $160 million from their highway fund budget if they don't come into compliance within 30 days. And if they continue not to do it, he's going to double the fine, $320 million. And now he's getting on Pennsylvania, Colorado, and some other states that are doing the same thing, and they're not just, you know, enforcing the law, basically, which doesn't make sense. Until somebody gets killed, and then they'll want to say, they'll blame the Republicans for something or anything. But, excuse me, I had to take a drink of my coffee, my cold coffee in the morning. But anyhow, it just irritates me that you can put somebody behind a truck. And I train people for a company called Ancora, and they do work with Amazon. And they called me about, and I was 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and they wanted me to come to Boston, and they paid for everything. Amazon did. They paid for flights, rental cars, hotels, nice hotels. They had a classroom set up in the hotel. And they called me up, and they said, hey, can you do 8 weeks of training trained these Amazon drivers, and it was good timing for me. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. So, I sent my resume and all that. The guy that called me knew me. He knew I could talk in front of people and this and that. But make a short story long, you called Big Willie, so I'm going to tell you all the details. So anyhow, I go up to Boston and get up there, and, you got the people from Boston. You can tell the way they talk. And then you got, immigration, the same thing, huge immigration population up there, huge. Just like New York City, all your big cities, because they can hide better in the bigger populations, I guess. Anyhow, so I go up there, and the first class I had Monday morning, I couldn't understand anybody in the class. 20 people class. Now, we had to go over ELDs, which is electronic logs, and log books and time. And we had to go over parking. We had to go over a pre-trip and then a driving test. And I had to separate the classes by what they spoke and then try to find the person with the best English to explain to them what was going on. And then when we took a test or something, somebody had to sit down and read it to them because everything was in English. And that's just how it was. And then I had a guy come in from Amazon to second class, I think, which there's two classes a week, 2.5 days each, and he said, we're hurting for drivers, and I said, yeah, that's why I'm here, and it was for Class B trucks. So a Class A truck would be a tractor trailer, a Class B truck is a semi or a straight truck, so it's like the UPS square box trucks. They were moving up from the vans to the box trucks, and when I say moving up, these new vehicles and Amazon had up there were crazy. Automatic steps and cameras and all kinds of technology. So they had to move up with their license and they wanted to start getting compliant. But then the guy from Amazon tells me, he says, hey, we're paying you and we need these drivers and we need them tomorrow. And I said, yeah. I said, as soon as we can get done with them, we'll get them out. He goes, no. I don't think you understand. Every driver is going to pass this thing, right? Every driver is going to get their stuff. And I had to call the company. I said, hey, the person can't tell me what they're looking at. How can I pass them? You know what I mean? And they said, it's just something that's got to happen. And I said, well, I think there was at least two people I questioned. And I told them I just didn't feel right. Because they just couldn't pass it, and they never did nothing to me. I didn't really need that job anyhow. I mean, it was just doing it as a favor to somebody else. And so I didn't care, but I really didn't want to put somebody on the road that couldn't even do a pre-trip. It wasn't driving so much as it was reading and the pre-trip. You would explain something to them, and I always tell this one story. This Indian guy I had, and he says, he would tell me, I said, let's start on the driver's side here. You have to look at your headlights, your wipers, seat adjustment, mirror placement, tire tread depth, steering knuckle, steering arm, tie rods. You got to know bolts are missing or rusted or cracked wheels, the tires have any bulges. He gets on the driver's side of the vehicle, and he goes, this truck, brand new, very nice, very nice. No issues, no problems. Very good, no issues. And I said, all right, now that's good, but it is new. But point out what you're looking at. Oh, no need, everything, brand new, good truck, brand new, everything nice. Good truck, everything good, we go. And I said, so this went on for like 3 or 4 minutes, and I wanted to laugh, but he didn't know no English. He did a very good, this is very good, very nice. Yes, we go right now. We drive very new truck. And I said, well, you got to tell me something. And that was one of the people. And then we also had a reference sheet, a cheat sheet, basically, that had everything wrote on it. But they still couldn't figure out how to write it. I had people that didn't even know how to fill out a basic form for the class. But they pushed you, and this is right around the COVID time, right? And they threatened me, and somebody took a picture of me, because I didn't have a mask on at the front of the classroom. And one of the people that I didn't want to pass took a picture, sent it to the Amazon person, and they showed up.
Hello? You there?
Hello.
All right.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
So Amazon sells their dish.
You're breaking up.
Whatever it is. And I can go rent a warehouse, and there could be 10 owners of distribution, Amazon distribution in one building. And that's what they did. So each person that owned a distribution center had to hire their own drivers and was responsible for their own packages. So these are like independent owner-operators of a tractor and trailer where you go get products from a company. It happens the same thing with Amazon. So I talked to several of them, and they were all hurting for drivers except for one guy. And he was a Mexican guy, and he had all Mexican drivers. He paid them all the same, and they all got along. But he had the most drivers than anybody, and they couldn't figure out why. And it was just because he could talk to everybody. He hired Spanish people, speaking people, that he could talk to, so he had the most people. But they had, these distribution centers are everywhere. You think UPS is big, go look at Amazon stuff. And this is 6-7 years ago. It's just nuts, completely nuts. But anyhow, that was my experience with getting pushed by big companies, you know, to push these people through, and they pay good money. You know, I mean, I was getting $3,000 a week plus all expenses. I wish it would have lasted all the time, but it didn't. It sucked, of course, because you traveled. But the danger factor out here on these roads right now, that in Oklahoma did their thing. 25% of the drivers that they checked didn't have a valid license. In California, when they started doing the numbers on their thing, 1 in 4 truck drivers in California, licensed California truck drivers. That doesn't mean they're in California. That means they're everywhere in the country. 1 in 4 don't have a valid license. They went to a school that was set up by Serbians or Ukrainians or Indians, and somebody comes over from their country and they figure it out. Somebody else has a little more money, sets up these schools, gets all the qualifications and knows how to speak English. They send the people there and they do the whole test in their language. So when they get pulled over, some of them are legit, some of them aren't. When they get pulled over, they might not ever have spoken a lick of English, but they took the whole class in their language. So Super Ego in Bensenville, Illinois, by Chicago, is owned by a Serbian guy. It drives a Ferrari, and I know because I did stuff for him. It's factual stuff, and all his, every single one of his dispatchers and brokers and ELD people were all based out of Serbia. And if they got caught doing something, this is after I was there a while, I learned it, they would just shut it down and start something new with a new number. Because the DOT can't go to Serbia and shut them down. So they just have somebody over here start a new company. They get to say, switch the phone line up. They get a new phone number, a new email, a new look, a new logo. They send it over to Serbia, and they start answering the phones again. I had a relationship. I still talk to a guy, Frank, which is not his real name. His real name is George A. Dubojek, a Serbian guy that told me every day, which is another story, how much the United States lies on what goes on in the Ukraine and Russia and Serbia, and he would never come over here because we put out so much fictional narratives and try to make everybody think a certain way. But anyhow, that's how they ran their DOT stuff, and that's how they do it today still, but they're starting to crack down on it. They're starting to crack down on the brokerage and the third party. If you've seen Guy Ferrari and Sammy Hagar just got $1 million, 2 truckload shipment of tequila stolen, and it was on 60 Minutes. And if you watch how it was done, they explain the double brokering. So if you look up 60 Minutes on CBS, and you can see how that works. The company puts out a load. Another company, two fictional companies that were set up online with no physical people, booked these loads with the logistics company, hired drivers to take the loads, gave them a wrong address, updated the company with fake GPS, and took $1 million worth of tequila off of Guy Ferrari or Ferrari, whatever his name is, and Sammy Hagar, and it was stolen. In New York City alone, I think, or L.A., one of them, the last year alone, they recovered $43 million. This is one city, $43 million of stolen goods from stolen trucks, from stolen cargo, from dock ships, tractor trailers. It's all a racket. There's a huge market for stuff. They got stores that have nothing but Milwaukee tools, DeWalt tools, Makita, everything stolen, and they're all in the big cities. And everybody's wondering how these people get this stuff. They're selling this stuff for 30, 40 cents on the dollar. And it continues to happen. So that's why...